You're tuned into Lightly on the Ground Radio, produced at Richmond Independent Radio and broadcast on WRIR LP 97.3 FM and worldwide at WRIR.org. We're exploring our food system, which includes everything from farm to table, and it extends from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of those making policy on the local, national, and worldwide fronts. While we're talking local, the ideas are pertinent to any food system. I'm Sunny Gardner. And our guest in the studio today is Dada Maheshvarananda. And he has traveled from Venezuela to visit Virginia, and he's on a tour around the nation. I believe he's going to visit 22 cities and talk about a concept which grabbed my ear when I first saw it in my eye. It was economic democracy. Welcome, Dada G. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Sunny. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
Tell us in a nutshell what you mean by economic democracy. And I know it's a big subject, but please.
Sure. In simple language, it's an economy of the people, by the people, and for the people.
It sounds kind of familiar.
Yes. I interviewed Noam Chomsky for my book called After Capitalism, Economic Democracy in Action. And he said you can't have meaningful political democracy without functioning economic democracy. The reason is that when big money is controlling our politics, then the political system isn't working properly anymore. And economic democracy is about local communities evolving economies, local economies, with locally grown food, with locally grown services and products, benefiting all the people. You know, Sunny, there's a fundamental right of people to own their own business. And small-scale private enterprises, that's what it is. It's small businesses that work. But when the businesses get bigger, if they stay in private hands, they tend to, you know, become monopolies. They tend to be very large. And so economic democracy recommends cooperatives. And cooperatives is where everybody owns the business. Everybody benefits from the business. And so in food, you have the ideal situation where a farmer's cooperative or a CSA farm sells directly to a consumer's cooperative so that the farmer gets more, the consumer pays less, and there's no middle guy who used to take 90% of the cut. So it's more democratic. It allows the people to decide their economic future of their own communities in a participatory way.
So what do you see is going on now that is counter to that?
Counter to that? I'm sorry, in this country, the United States? I thought just about everything's going counter to that. No, I mean, in every community, there's wonderful examples. And unfortunately, they don't make the news. And what your radio station is trying to do, independent media, is trying to tell people about all the wonderful initiatives that are taking place in this country. But when I look at CNN Business News or something like that, they don't mention a word about cooperatives. I was fascinated when I was researching this book, Sunny, that, you know, for example, of course, we know there's more than a billion people in the world today are members of cooperatives.
Really?
So that's you know, almost a sixth of our population, really. And cooperatives also provide 20% more jobs than all the multinational corporations in the world put together. Cooperatives provide 100 million jobs, and multinational private corporations provide only 80 million jobs. But what's even more striking to me is in this country, the statistics show that within the first year of operation, 50 to 80% of private enterprises go belly up. They go bankrupt in the first year. It's hard to open a private business.
Yeah.
We know that, but we don't hear the statistics about that. And only 10% of cooperatives are failing in the same first year of business. After 5 years, it gets much more striking because 95 to 97% of private companies fail within 5 years of opening. And still, it's like 88% of cooperatives are still functioning after 5 years. So why doesn't the corporate news tell us this? I mean, at least the failure rate, even if they don't like cooperatives, why don't they at least tell the failure rate of private enterprises?
Are there any co-ops that are traded on the stock exchange?
No, not at all.
Because they're owned by the people that work in...
Of course.
Support them.
And the business news, of course, is made for big investors. Mm-hmm. And so cooperatives are totally boring for big investors.
Well, we have the National Cooperative Bank still, right? And the National Cooperative Association and...
Right, but you can't buy them out. You can't own them. You can give a loan to a cooperative and get back a normal interest rate, but you can't own it. You can't control it. You can't buy and sell it. So for investors, cooperatives are extremely boring. And that's why you never hear about them on the business news.
Well, let's kind of look over the whole cooperative scene. I know there are a lot of different kinds. Like you mentioned the CSAs, and I threw out the National Cooperative Bank. We have someone else in the room. Why don't you introduce yourself, Clark Webb?
My name is Clark Webb, and I live in Blacksburg, Virginia. And I've been working with cooperative movement in Virginia and Maryland. Let's see, I had my first job in Natural Foods Cooperative in Mount Rainier, Maryland in 1972.
So what co-ops are you involved now? Are you in a credit union, or are you...
Well, I often shop in a farmer's market, and a lot of times farmer's markets aren't seen as co-ops, but they are cooperatively managed and run by and large. Mm-hmm. And if anybody shopped in a farmer's market, they've shopped in a co-op. Mm-hmm. Credit unions, we have a Virginia Tech credit union for employees at Virginia Tech in downtown Blacksburg.
He knows about every cooperative in Virginia, every food co-op in the whole state of Virginia, because he's a representative for certain natural products, and he drives around, he visits every single one, he sees them all the time for years. Uh-huh. And this guy's a historical legacy and
so
current.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that are happening in Virginia that are quite exciting for the cooperative movement. I mentioned I live in Blacksburg. We have Each Natural Products that's been established since 1974 near the Virginia Tech campus, serving thousands of people every year and have thousands of members. Roanoke Natural Foods Cooperative in Grandin Village has been established at least since the mid-1970s, and they're so successful, they're opening up a second location in the business district in downtown Roanoke.
Do you work with any of the online co-ops? I think they're mostly doing local products.
Yes, there is a very strong, I believe it's called Organic Express in the Virginia Beach and Chesapeake area of Virginia. It's been going for many years. And they take orders online, and people come and pick up their bag of groceries on a certain designated day when the deliveries have arrived and the goods have been distributed to the different accounts. Here in Richmond, I have some friends who are opening up a co-op. I believe it's happening later on in the summer or maybe early fall here near VCU. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting development.
And some of the old-time co-opers are involved in that.
That's right. That's right. And then in Harrisonburg, Virginia, near the JMU campus, we have the Friendly City Co-op, which I believe is going into its second year. And it's really stressing local produce and products that are homemade or manufactured in the immediate vicinity of Harrisonburg. Mm-hmm. And then we have a whole host of neighborhood co-ops where they're more like buying clubs, where families will get together in their urban neighborhood or out in the suburbs, and they'll buy from a distributor and then break up the cases or the 50-pound bags of brown rice or
flour. We used to do that.
There you go. There you, all that's coming back.
Cornucopia Trading Company.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So
today we were in Lexington at the co-op there.
Healthy Foods Co-op, right across from the Washington Lee campus. They have a cafe. They have a wonderful assortment of produce and different natural products for the students at Washington Lee campus and town residents of Lexington to come in and shop and purchase. Mm-hmm.
So are you a member of some of these co-ops?
A member of Eats Natural Products in Blacksburg, and then I use my co-op membership at Eats throughout the state to get a discount, because one of the strengths of the co-ops is they recognize each other's memberships. So when you're traveling or visiting, you can get some substantial discount for being a member in another co-op.
That's hip.
Yeah. Cooperative, what we call solidarity and mutual support, that's one of the basic principles of the cooperative movement.
I had forgotten that, but I remember that goes back to when we were learning cooperative and developing cooperative
exactly,
theory.
Yes.
Yeah. So are you involved in any co-housing projects?
Well, we do have a Shadow Lake Village in Blacksburg that is an intentional community where there may be 25 or 30 homes that are built in a village type of arrangement, which provides for cluster housing and then a large amount of open space that can be used for gardens or for preserving some of the wild aspects of the area, nature preserves and animal reserves for that reason. So I know that it's going on. I'm not actively participating, though I have friends who live there.
Are you a member of a CSA?
I have been in the past, but I travel so much it's hard for me to keep up with their schedule.
I hear you. This far-reaching conversation with Dada Maheshwarananda and Clark Webb has been truncated. We talked a long time and covered a lot of things, from the relative stability of credit unions compared to banks to progressive utilization theory, or PROUT. And we also talked about the funeral hall co-ops in Venezuela and much more. It's available in its entirety through the Lightly on the Ground Facebook page and by emailing sunny@wrir.org. The music is a chant of Baba Nam Kavalam, Baba Nam Kavalam. The simple translation would be, love is all there is. The recording was made at WRIR Studios, but it was produced here in the outdoor studio at Epic Gardens. And that's why you hear the ambient sounds of life here. Now back to our conversation.
I think an awful lot is happening, and it's very exciting.
I'm happy to hear that.
I live in Venezuela, and we have a food co-op there that's a little bit large. 70,000 people every week buy at this food co-op. Can you imagine 70,000? That's one-third of the total population of the city of Barquisimeto in Venezuela. It's been running for 47 years. It is a food co-op. It's actually a network of co-ops. And they're trucking in food from different growing cooperatives in five states and selling it in Barquisimeto in three different major markets. And so they've counted the number of people who come to those markets. They're not even open every day, believe it or not. They're only open 3 or 4 days every week. And they get 70,000 consumers buying at their cooperative. It's impressive.
And they're members.
They'll sell to anybody, so I can't even say about that. I know that it's a whole network of cooperatives. They're also producing. So they produce. They have lots of cottage industries that are connected to this.
And I bet they have a cooperative transportation system.
They started with that. Believe it or not, then the government destroyed. It was before Chavez came to power, so they just they took away the capacity to run the buses. They wouldn't let them collect money anymore. But then what they started was a cooperative funeral system, funeral hall system. I know it sounds strange, but for $3 a month, you and five members of your family are all insured. And if any person dies, they give a beautiful funeral service. You have the casket, you have the burial, everything in a very nice way. And you don't, it's just like an insurance. You don't pay anything extra when somebody does die. I know it sounds strange, but it's a very successful funeral, you know, so that all the members of all the cooperatives use this. Mm-hmm. And they have thousands and thousands of members. They just built a cooperative hospital. It's a very successful cooperative model mm-hmm. out in Barquisimeto, Venezuela.
Well, I'm glad that I misspoke what I meant to say, but I would never have learned about the cooperative funeral system. But that's great because sometimes a funeral can set a family way back.
Exactly.
I remember when my mother died, it was $25,000 for the funeral and everything that went along mm-hmm. with it. So that can be quite a substantial hit for a family to take.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially poor people.
Right.
You know, so this is a way that everybody can have a very dignified service. Mm-hmm. And the workers, because they're paid fully, you know, they're very concerned. You know, they treat every single customer equally. You know, mm-hmm. it's not that, you know, it depends on how much money you're throwing around, what kind of service you're getting. Everybody gets a beautiful service and the same kind of treatment. So it's very nice.
Yeah. Well, to get back to the food system part, what I'd meant to ask was, is there a cooperative distribution system? Are there brokers or aggregators who go out and get, you know, like a few people might have a co-op that owns a truck, and so they would go out and gather the gather the foods and bring them to the cooperative markets.
Right. That's all done in Barquisimeto, and mm-hmm. that's why the operation is so huge. That's why they can feed 70,000 people every week. It's a huge number of people. What they're doing in all of the country is, when President Chavez came to power, 14 years ago, he started government food subsidized stores. So poor people with very little income can get a very large amount of nutritious food for almost nothing. And now he started free lunch program in all the public schools in the country so that all kids are getting their free lunch. So really they're doing an awful lot to provide, to guarantee the minimum necessities of life, which is actually one of the principles of PROUD, as I mentioned earlier. And it's one of the reasons that we started the PROUD Research Institute in Venezuela, is because our goals, and many of the goals of the Venezuelan Bolivarian government, are the same, actually. We're trying to provide the minimum necessities. They're doing it. We're trying to create cooperatives. They have 66,000 functioning cooperatives in Venezuela. It's the second highest number after China. It's impressive. They're trying to become self-reliant in agriculture, what they call food sovereignty, right? That every country, state, community can be self-reliant in food. They're doing that. They're trying.
Sovereignty, that's beyond sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
You know, we're just getting to food sovereignty, but food serenity is where we really need to go.
Sovereignty. I'm a meditation teacher, so I mix up my serenities and my sovereignties a lot.
Well, that was apropos also. Okay. We've had some good slips of tongue here today.
Yes.
I have a hard question.
Shoot.
It seems obvious to us in this room, and it seems obvious to everyone that I frequently converse with, that we're on the wrong foot. What can we do? I mean, we're writing letters to Congress. We are, mm-hmm. you know, speaking out in all these email deluges that we send out. Some of us are meditating. How can we actually make the social change, the economic change, to have an actual democracy in the United States, an economic democracy, so that people have the basic needs and can aspire to some of the other needs? I mean, the security, the belongingness.
It's the most important question of all, I think. And I think it's happening, but we can't see it's happening. I think a lot of changes are taking place every day, which you're trying to find out about and trying to tell people about, because they're like invisible. The cooperative movement didn't start yesterday. It's been around for 150 years. And actually, that's the legal form of the cooperative business. You know, people have been working cooperatively for much longer than that. But together, nothing's impossible. Together, we can change the world. And, you know, local economies, economic democracy, it's all about people getting together and doing something locally. Another concern or part of your question is that we see the problems of the world, and there's problems everywhere. And it breaks your heart to see what's happening in the Sudan, for example, what's happening in Ethiopia, what's happening in, when the tsunami hits, when you see so much suffering. The ecological slogan, think globally, act locally, has a lot of power. Because the truth is, if you do anything locally in a positive way, that changes the world. Or as the Jewish people used to say, you save one life, you save humanity. So do something locally, and in effect, you're changing the world. You don't see it right away, it's true, but it's happening. And radio stations like this, creating networks of people, helping people to connect and join and work together, you can change your community. You can create a local economy and economic democracy. One of the principles of economic democracy, you know, no outside ownership. The people should be local. You don't go to the, you know, you try to avoid as much as possible going to the multinational corporations, and be a client, be a customer in your local restaurants, in your local stores, in your local industries, your local food. Because the more your dollars circulate in the community, they go to so many hands. When you go to a corporation, you know, so much of your money, a lot of it goes to China, but most of it goes to the investor pockets. And very little goes to the actual workers in the community, the people of the community. Mm-hmm. So that's why economic democracy is actually a very powerful idea. It's the whole point is to empower individuals and communities to take control of their own lives.
One idea that I've embraced recently is voting with my pocketbook, how I spend my dollars. Each dollar that I spend is voting for the success of that business. So if I vote for a local bookstore by deciding to purchase a gift or book or a magazine there, mm-hmm. or a local restaurant to buy my lunch, to buy my dinner, or a bakery, or any local business, I am voting to support that local economy. If I make a different choice for a fast food restaurant chain or, you know, what have you, well, you know, that my vote is going in that direction. Mm-hmm. So I really, as much as I can, I vote to support the local economy by spending my dollars in local businesses. And I think that's a powerful message that if people would embrace it, you'd see a lot of benefit to the local economy and the people who live there in this community.
Put your money where your mouth is.
There you go.
Clark Webb, I want to thank you very much for bringing your friend, Dada Maheshvarananda.
Perfect.
And thank you so much for coming all this way. And I
thank
hope that you.
You
enjoy your visit here in the beautiful springtime of Virginia. And how far are you traveling? Are you going around the country? Or?
No, I'm doing 30-day tour of just Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, also Philadelphia, New York, and Maine, mm-hmm. and 22 cities in 30 days. It's a bit hectic.
It is.
But I love it. A lot of universities, mm-hmm. Some bookstores, Red Emma's in Baltimore, mm-hmm. cooperative bookstore, and friend's meeting house tonight. I'll be in Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Well, thank you both for coming. Lightly on the Ground Radio is a Sunny Gardner production for Richmond Independent Radio, broadcast on WRIR-LP and worldwide at WRIR.org. And I'm grateful to all the volunteers at Richmond Independent Radio and to our community of donors, underwriters, and listeners who support us through their contributions, both financial and esoteric. And it's somewhat of a co-op. You know, we're operated by 200 volunteers. Nobody gets paid.
That's very impressive, Sonny.
Oh,
huge.
Well, to participate in the discussion, please email your thoughts to sonny@wrir.org. And you can befriend us on Lightly on the Ground Radio so you know who will appear on the show and when podcasts are available. The theme music is Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth, and the incidental music was a piece from Flight of Love, which is a record that the Dada brought to us. And I hope you'll join us again on the radio. Until then, walk in the light and live lightly on the ground. And thank you for listening. And thank you both for coming again. Do you have any final words?
You know, the message of yoga and meditation, you have a potential physical, mental, and spiritual within you that is more than you can possibly imagine. Let's realize that potential. Let's be all that we can be. Let's seize the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Seize the day. All right.
Bhavana kevalam, bhavana kevalam, bhavana. Baba Nam Kevalam, Baba Nam.